You may stand. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
As we approach Holy Week, there's a number of liturgical things that occur which are a bit different. Last week, fifth Sunday of Lent, we covered the sacred images, which is optional, but it's a longstanding tradition, so that our focus becomes more and more centered on the cross. And then whenever we proclaim the Passion, there's not a procession, and there's not a "Lord be with you" from the deacon or priest, nor a signing, nor is there a candle. You'll see the same thing, of course, on Good Friday. These small modifications are meant to, because we tend to do the same thing every Sunday, when you make a small change, it often, well, hopefully you noticed. It can resonate a little bit more. Okay. So, therefore, today, Palm Sunday, is a time to consider the cross. It's a time to consider the soberness, the sober reality of the cross and why the cross. The most essential Christian belief is this, and every Christian must believe it or they cannot be Christian. Who says so? Jesus said so, and it is this. Our sinfulness, not just our ancestors, but even our sinfulness throughout all of time, has set us at odds with God, with the Father. Our relationship with God has been fractured, fragmented. We are rebels, as it were, because of that, right? Every sin is a rebellion, some sort of rebellion against God. And because of that rebellion, right, we have this enmity between ourselves and God. But God doesn't want that, of course, because he wants to love us. He wants us to receive love. He wants us to be able to give love back. And so therefore, that fracture has to be healed. So what did he do? Why he did it? I mean, there's a bunch of different examples we could give, but that he did it is beyond dispute. He sent his Son, the second person of the Trinity, to take on our human flesh and ultimately to die. The main reason Jesus became man was so that he would die on the cross. And because of that death on the cross, that relationship has been made right with God. Our sins are real, and they have serious, serious implications. They are the reason Jesus died on the cross, because of that sinfulness. So we must take that seriously. God took it so seriously that he became man and died for it. Now, if I were to say to you, well, you believe that God is all loving, right? He loves everybody. Sure, yeah, of course I believe that, 100%. He said so. And that God is merciful, and anything God does, he does perfectly, so he's perfectly merciful. Absolutely, yep, that's true. And God will never desert us. We might desert him, but he never deserts us. He'll never give up on us. That's absolutely true. He said that. And also, then, every single one of God's commands must be followed. Well, for the first three statements and similar statements, I never get argument. But I do get argument from people about God's law. Well, you know, there's this, there's that. Well, we trust God with one thing, but we don't trust him with the other. His law is his law. He did not consult us, nor did he need to. And his law is everlasting. It wasn't just for a time or historically situated. But he speaks to the truth of the human person and the truth of reality by conveying his law. And he bids us follow. To follow God is to follow his law. And of course, we're still rebellious at some level. We want to think that, well, you know, if God just understood my situation, then that law doesn't apply, or that doesn't law doesn't apply. We'd never say that about God loving us. Well, maybe he doesn't love you either. No, Father, you can't say, I wouldn't say that. But it's inconsistent to say that all of the other positive things are true that he said, but we're going to be a little slippery with the moral law. He is not. It is clear. The law remains. And when we violate the law, we sin. And the graver the sin, the more that that sin puts us once again at odds with God. But of course, he gave us a remedy. He gave us a remedy for sin. I mean, it is the cross, but extending from the cross is the sacramental life of the church. So, you know, he told his apostles, go and baptize everyone. Go and baptize the nations. And we believe that. We believe him at his word. And then he says, you know, says about marriage, a man and woman coming together are married, and it's God who unites them, and we believe him. And the Eucharist, he says, take and eat, this is my body, this is my blood. He told his apostles to do it. They did it. We've been doing it ever since, and we believe him. And then he told his apostles, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, whatever you loose shall be loosed. In other words, you can forgive sins in my name. They did it, and we disagree, some of us. Well, I don't want to have to confess my sins to a man, another individual. I do not doubt, based on my own experience, that this is inconvenient and difficult at times. But it is God's law. And we trust him with baptism. We trust him with, you know, that the priest or in baptism, the deacon stands in the place of Christ, right? That at the Eucharist, the priest stands in the place of Christ. But when it comes to confession, we say, well, no, that's not the same. It's the same. Your argument is terrible. And the reason you stay away, if you're one of them, I'm coming for you. If you're one of them, it's not an intellectual problem. It's not an intellectual problem. Because most of our, you know, reasons for not worshiping God are not really intellectual. The intellectualism can get us hung up on things. But ultimately, faith is submission. It's bending the knee at the name of Jesus. It's saying, I don't know better than God, so I'll do what he says. It's saying, not my will be done, as he said to the Father, but your will be done. It's saying, I will serve you in this life and enjoy eternal beatitude with you in the next. We need to take our sins seriously and also go to the Lord in the way that he has said to be forgiven of the most serious ones. In 24 years of being a priest now, it's amazing to have the experience as a priest, and it's humbling to have somebody come to confession after decades. And the freedom they know when they're done is incredible. I can feel it in them, and you can see that in them as well. I encourage you, take your sins seriously. And maybe you do, but you're just not sure about how one gets rid of them. I encourage you to be free. This is what the Lord wants, freedom, not slavery, freedom. And he's given us a way to go about that and receive it. And unless we repent of our sins, we cannot receive redemption and eternal life. What the Lord promises us is so great. As Paul says, we cannot even conceive of the goodness and the greatness and the love of God. Allow him to give you that gift. Please stand.